Happy Monday, everybody. Thank you so much for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. Hope you had a tremendous weekend. We have an awesome trip report to get you out the door and down the road here on a Monday. Listener Bob joins me today from just here in St. Louis in Arnold, Missouri, South County. And we talk about his trip with a group of 11 down to Walt Disney World this past June and hear about how everybody stuck together. They went to many of the theme parks at Walt Disney World. They built lightsabers at Savi's workshop. They also went over to Universal, stayed at Royal Pacific, toured those theme parks, spent some time at the beach. We have a fun conversation about what it's like traveling with a large group to Central Florida. Don't forget today's show brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. Check them out today for all of your Disney trip planning needs. They're a platinum earmarked agency, which means Disney has recognized them for being the best of the best. Check them out today. We love your support over at themagicforless.com. Also, please use our Amazon affiliate link, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. When you shop online, that one extra click means a lot to us. So please write it down or bookmark it and use it as often as you can. Again, it's brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. And finally, thank you to each and every one of our patrons. You guys support the show. You make it possible for this podcast to get out all around the world. And for that, I thank you very much. Our patrons also get a bonus podcast called Mike in the Midwest every Thursday. If you'd like more information on supporting the show on Patreon, just visit patreon.com/BeOurGuestPodcast.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1956 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman, from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Monday to you. Hope you had a great weekend. And for those folks listening around the country that are of my persuasion, that was the last weekend without college football. For quite a while, we've made it, man. College football starts this coming weekend. MIZ, SEC, we're going to have a great season this year. And hope your school has a great season as well. Unless you're Kansas, just saying. Or Nebraska. No, I'm just saying that for Wade. He's checking in, I'm sure. So just kidding. So we're going to get talking Disney today, not college football, even though I could do that all day too. And today, it's a Monday. It's trip report day. So we're heading down actually here in St. Louis, down to Arnold, Missouri. Down just a little bit south of the BR Guest Podcast Studios to talk with listener Bob. Bob, what's going on?
Oh, not much, Mike. How's it going this evening?
It's going great, man. It has been hot here in Missouri lately.
Terrible today. It was crazy hot today.
Let me ask you this: you're a fireman. You work with fire company down there. So when it's hot like this, is that a busy time for you because of lots of heat exhaustion calls and stuff like that?
It can be. It very well can be. It just kind of depends today. Actually, I was spent the day at the firehouse today. We had one of our assistant chiefs retired, and we were down there all day. We didn't turn a wheel while they were down there. So it's kind of hit or miss. But when it's hot, it's crazy. It's sometimes it's busy and sometimes it's just miserable to work outside, too. So it's this heat can break at any time.
Yeah. My dad and my grandpa were both cement masons their whole, their careers. And they worked out and, I have a bad day working as a travel agent some days. I'm like, oh my gosh, I was like, my fingers are tired or like my eyes are strained. And then I think about folks that do work outdoors in days like today. I think the heat index is about 110. And, I think of everybody that's out there. It's got to be tough. So thanks for being out there. We sure appreciate it.
No, it's my pleasure. Really is. So
any quick tips though, for folks that are going down when it's hot at Walt Disney World? I mean, have you seen things that people don't think about that maybe could keep them a little bit safer?
You know, the thing that just kind of, you don't think about it. Like we were down in June this year, and it was hot when we were down there. And the misting fans, whether you love them or hate them, they really do work. We had one of the girls in our group was using one of those, and it was nice because every once in a while you'd get that little bit of extra spray. But man, you just got to drink water, and sometimes I know the water down there isn't the best, but it is. It's important to drink some water, that's for sure. Stay hydrated.
Yeah, Mallory's always saying, I can't drink the Florida water. I'm like, drink the Florida water. It's fine. It tastes like Disney.
Buy some additive to it to get knock the taste off something. But yeah, you just got to drink it. It's crazy.
All right. Well, let's hop into your trip. You said you guys were down in June. Actually, before we get into your trip, I almost missed something here. I'm kind of off my game today. So we're going to make it through this, but give us your backstory. Why are you a Disney fan? You're here in Missouri. So where's that connection?
You know, it's kind of a weird story. Back in the 70s, mom and dad took me down and probably mom and I were talking about it yesterday. We think it was like 77 or 78. We went down there for our first official trip, if you will. And I don't remember much about it, except that we did camp at Fort Wilderness. And it was one of those things that I always kind of liked Disney growing up and everything else. But that was our one trip down there. And then when my daughter turned 5, 10 years or so ago, we decided we were going to take her down there and started listening to your podcast, WDW Today at the time, all of that stuff. And it kind of grew from there. And then since, we took her, we've gone a couple other times. And this last trip, it was just spur of the moment type. I say spur of the moment, but it was one of those things that it wasn't really planned because we had went in 2018 and we were going to leave some space there. And it just kind of fell together. And it was worth it. It's definitely worth it. It's just one of those things. You know, I get stuff like my mom, you can see my Viewmaster here in the back that she picked up at some antique mall the other day. So my mom's feeding the addiction on certain things. That's for sure. So.
And that's what we do here on the show. I mean, it's like, it's terrible because like, I'll talk to you and I'm like, okay, I got to take a group now. I got to figure out who my thing is. Now that I've had the podcast for long enough, when I'm down there, I'm never by myself. There's always either it's a race weekend. There's hundreds of us around, the gardeners, the foresters, we got all kinds of folks, the Griffiths. So we travel around, but real quick before we hop into the trip, because I want to get into this, but 50th anniversary is coming up. I've been asking everybody, you get to bring back one thing from the past, a parade, a resort, a restaurant, an attraction, a promotion. What are you bringing back?
I don't know. That's like you said, it's one of those things. And I like some of the classic stuff that I wish I'd had an opportunity to see or remember some of that stuff from the 70s, some of the early Epcot stuff. You know, you hear about it, but those are the things that I all of a sudden have started looking at is the nostalgia stuff, whether it be Disney, other stuff also. And that's where it's at. I think just kind of going back to that 1970s, early 80s stuff and seeing what that was like and what the parks were like back there. And cause I didn't have an opportunity to live that. And that's what interests me a lot.
That's exactly my story, because I'm a huge fan of like Wedway Radio stuff that when Nate's out on there very much, but Matt and Kevin and stuff, and they do these history shows, and even Len and Jim Hill are talking about things, like back in Disneyland in the 60s, when people were they dressed up to go to the theme park, and you got to have it just had to have been a different overall experience, because I didn't really get to experience it until like the late 90s. So I'm the same way. I look back at things nostalgically that I have no direct connection to. I just wish I would. It's weird.
Absolutely. And that was the thing is mom was looking for some pictures from that trip because I've been asking her for them and she can't find them yet. And it's just crazy because, I've got pulled up here, who knows how many hundreds of pictures we took and we probably took, down there with the family in 1970, we probably took 24 photos. And
that's right. But I mean, back then, because I remember I got I got a little cheap camera when I was in elementary school. You had to, when you pushed the button, man, that was like a $2.50 commitment, by the time you got it.
It was a commitment, that's for sure. So yeah, that was, but those are the things I don't know. It's the nostalgia of all that and what it was like and what that whole time period to me is just kind of an interesting era. So that would be it.
Good stuff. Okay, so you said this trip kind of came together last minute. You were down in June, so talk to us about how it all came to be.
Last minute might be a little bit odd, but it was one of those things that late in 2019 we with a group of parents and kids from my daughter's school, from Kate's school, it was like, hey, well, let's go to Florida again. We snuck down in 2019 just to get away. We just kind of went to the Gulf Coast for a little bit. And that group had a good time. And they're like, okay, well, we were thinking about going to, one of the families was like, well, we were thinking of going to Disney. And everybody was like, okay. So late last year, early this year, we put a group together and ended up being a group, four families, you know, one, two, three families, 11 total in the group. And it started out and it worked out well. And at that time they were booking the buy 3 days, get the 2 days extra park tickets or whatever that promo was going on. And it just, like I said, it just kind of fell together. And we didn't all travel together, but we all kind of ended up meeting there after some came in a day or two. We came in and we did Disney math and booked an extra hotel room for a night and got an extra park day and all that kind of stuff. But it worked out. And you know, that was a group of, four 15-year-olds, the adults, and then a 13-year-old. Just kind of drove, kind of went down there, met up, and spent three pretty busy days in the park as a group of 11, and it was fun. It truly was fun.
So talk to us about your accommodations. Where'd you stay, and what did you think? How did it work out for you, for your, I don't know if everybody stayed in the same hotel, but how did it work out?
It actually worked out well. We all stayed at Pop Century, got a nice room in the 70s there, nice preferred room in the 70s. We ended up actually all three rooms in a row. So that nice. Worked out for the kids. They were able to meet up and disappear wherever they went. And, you know, it allowed the adults to kind of keep an eye on as we needed to and just kind of go about our merry way. But it did, like I said, it really worked out well that we all got stuck right there close to each other in the 70s. Pop is a place that we've gone there twice now. We've stayed at Pop, and I love it. Skyliner access was great. Right. You know, the food court in June wasn't, they still have that limited menu. Yep, so it's like hamburger or chicken.
Yeah.
And
which that's all my girls eat. So, I mean, other than me, everybody was happy. I'm like, I need a little variety, you know, put some little Mexican or something on that menu. Right. But yeah, I get it.
And we did. We were the one night we came back, might've been the night I don't remember. It was one of the nights we were sitting there at Petals. The kids were in the pool. We were sitting at Petals and we ordered some pizza. Kids weren't hungry, of course, when we ordered pizza, but we ordered some pizza from Flippers, and then they all piled on, and we ended up having to get Domino's for the kids and Flippers for the rest of us.
Back off my Flippers. Get away. You didn't want it. You said you weren't hungry.
That's exactly what happened. They weren't hungry. We had drinks and Flippers coming for the adults, and then all of a sudden we had to order Domino's. So, but, you know. It happened, but it's a nice resort. It is everything that I think if you need, you're going down on that budget, and it's everything was right there. Everything was great, clean. We were there one day. We had the mask mandate, and they dropped it our second day we were there, so we didn't have to wear them inside or any of that. So it worked out real well with even with that. So
yeah, I was down in that kind of little. You know, that little sweet spot that we had this summer, too, where there was no masks except for on the transportation was it. And, you know, I'll be honest, you know, I mean, I wear them where people tell me to wear them because that's the rules. And if I don't have to wear them and I feel comfortable, I don't. And it worked out well for me. So I, you know, it was a good time to be there. So what did you think about that? Because you took a larger group down this summer. Some people were, I was fine because, you know, I felt... I've been doing things, you know, I mean, I still work from home, but I mean, I go out, you know, for sports and everything. So everybody's got a different comfort level, I guess.
Yeah. And this group of families has been that way since the beginning of the pandemic situation last March. It's, you know, all soccer families, all friends of my daughters through soccer. So we've been going to tournaments. We've been doing games. We were like you. If I need to wear it because that's what you want me to do, we'll wear the mask. It was just, you know, it was nice. The one day the first day we went down, it was just my family, and we went to Animal Kingdom, and it was, you know, that was the day that it was masks in the park, in lines, the whole thing. And it was, I don't want to say it was miserable, but it was not real pleasant because it was warm and humid. Right. And we did catch those afternoon showers while we were down there. So it was just real humid. But after that, being able to kind of not worry about it unless you're on the bus or on the Skyliner, it was kind of refreshing.
Oh, yeah.
And the crowds really weren't too bad yet. I think I sent you the one picture of the hub, and that was taken like at 12:30 on the whatever day. I think it was like a Thursday. And it was plenty of room for everybody. It wasn't real crowded. The crowds hadn't really ramped up yet. So it was nice. We got in there on the front side of that. So
that's a great picture. Actually, I'm looking at it right now. And is that one of those ones that was the animated one that kind of zoomed?
Yes.
Because I'm saying, did you get like your kid to climb up on top of Casey's or something? I mean,
no, that was one of those magic shots.
Yeah.
Like I said, you can see that. It's like at 12:30 on a weekday, and that place, there was like hardly anybody there. And it was funny because you guys were down not that long after that when the fireworks started back up. And it was packed.
Yeah. So. It didn't feel crowded during the days, but obviously everybody was there to see the fireworks, but it was what it is. It was great. It was fine. Let's just say that I'm not a wordsmith here. So, okay. Talk to us though about times in the theme parks when you have, you know, these 15-year-olds and this, you know, preteen and you got the adults and you're trying to get around to do as much as you can. Cause I don't know if we talked about this at the top, but you guys did Walt Disney World. You also did some Universal. You did some beach time. So you kind of broke this vacation.
Yeah. It was a two week blowout. You know, the thing that, and I was one of these people when we went into planning it, we went with a group of individuals, these families, and like, I think I was the party planner of the group. I was going in expecting that the teenage kids would just go their merry ways and we'd tell them to be back at 1 o'clock and meet us for lunch here or whatever the case may be. And that we figured that would be the best way to do it. And the first day we were in the parks, we were in Magic Kingdom, and it was like, okay, Kate, what do you guys want to do? So it was like they stayed with us the whole time. There was every once in a while a couple would break off and do something, you know, but for the most part, that group stayed together. And it was fun. I mean, it with the way the park is or was at that time, you know, nothing but standby lines and all that other stuff. It wasn't that big of a deal. When we got in the Magic Kingdom that morning, we walked down and got in line for Seven Dwarfs Mine Trains, and the kids ran off and did Goofy and Dumbo and met us and you know, we went met us at the merge point there and in the ride we went. They never really went that far away from us. It was great. Some of the things that just kind of like in that Magic Kingdom day that we had, we ran into a little snafu with that kind of a larger group, was trying to get everybody to figure out what they wanted to do for meals. Because we really didn't do we did have one advanced dining reservation for just my family, but it was like, okay, what are we going to do? Quick service rise? Where does everybody? That was a little bit of a challenge at times. And finally, it was just somebody would say, okay, we're going here.
Yeah, just
everybody would mobile order and go.
And that's what you got to do with a group sometimes. Somebody has to make the decision. Like, it's time to make an executive decision. We're going to go here. Yeah. Everybody's going to make the best of it. You know, next time you pick and we'll go where you want, kind of thing. You just got to kind of trade it off. But yeah, you mentioned that it was kind of the good time to go with a large group where you didn't have to. Now, of course, you do have to think about theme park reservations, but since you guys were all together,
we had set that up when we made our trip reservations. We kind of let everybody know that, you know, we added a day because nobody really wanted to do the Animal Kingdom. So us as a family, we added a day and we went and did Animal Kingdom without them. And then one of the families didn't want to do Epcot. So that was kind of like, okay, well, this is the day we're doing Epcot. They went to Disney Springs and did that. But the day at the Magic Kingdom and at Hollywood Studios, it was the whole big group. And we had decided that and we went. And, you know, touring plans helped a lot with that because we were able to look at those wait times, and they were consistently what the wait was supposed to be, was what we found, and it really worked out well. You know, the big group just traveling with not having to worry about fast passes and everything
else.
It worked. I'm team fast pass, but it worked.
I'm exactly the same as you. Like, I'm definitely team fast pass. I'm still processing the whole genie stuff and the lightning lane. And I mean, it's like, just one of those things, like, I'm comfortable with how stuff worked. You know, I'm an old dog, you know, I'm going to learn the new trick somehow, but I'm an old dog. So we'll figure it out. But you're right. I mean, with that group and not having to worry about, okay, you got a fast pass for Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, but now they have one for Pirates and we'll meet up in the, you didn't have to worry about that. You could just kind of go on the fly and is something popped up? Hey, let's do it. That's what I really like about, you know, that this time right now, which is
and it really worked. Cause like we got off Seven Dwarfs Mine Train and we walked by and there was a couple people that wanted to go ride Winnie the Pooh. And there were a couple people that wanted to go do the Tomorrowland Speedway. So the group split and came back together. I mean, it just, the ones that wanted to do that did that. And the ones that didn't, we did the other things, and we rolled right on through everything, not really hitting you know, we really didn't hit too many roadblocks with that. The one thing that kind of threw a little bit of a monkey wrench in was when we went to when we went to Hollywood Studios, was our boarding passes.
That's what I was going to ask about. Yeah.
So we, none of the families got anything at the 7 o'clock drop. One of my devices connected and then the app locked up, but it wasn't going to be enough that I was going to complain or anything, because nobody else got anything. So it was like, it wasn't a big deal, but all three of us got something at the 1 o'clock drop, but they were all at different times. It was, this family had it here, we had it there. And one of the other families had one of the standby boarding groups that I can't remember if it actually got called or not. They ended up going back a little early to their daughter wanted to swim. So they ended up leaving the park a little early, but that was the only thing that was really just kind of, you know, it's a roll of the dice.
Right,
what are you going to get? What are you not going to get? We were lucky that we all were able to get something at that 1 o'clock, and, you know, well worth it. One day, two shots. And it made it work. Love the ride. We did get caught in a shutdown with it. We had to sit there for about 20 minutes while they reset. We were right in the middle of it. So it was like, and we was later in the day. So it was like, do we want to come back? Do we want to? So we just kind of rode it out there, and it was well worth it. My daughter is a huge Star Wars fan, and she thought it was great. I thought it was great. And you
bring up a good point, though. I mean, because it's okay that if you don't get to ride it with your whole group, like as a group of 15 or a group of 10 or whatever you have, because it's one attraction and it's such an experience that, you know what? Okay, go do that. We're going to go get on, you know, ride Toy Story Midway Mania while you're doing that. We'll meet up after that. I mean, it's just how it has to be. Yeah. Now, the thing is, you know, we're going to have more virtual queues here moving forward. We're going to have it with Ratatouille. Yeah. And I've been having this conversation with Ricky. She didn't think they would do virtual queues for this one because it's not needed. It has a big standby kind of area. But I think this is going to be Disney trying to introduce the virtual queue to, like, they've done it with Rise. Now they're going to do it kind of more mainstream, I think, with Ratatouille, more drops, more availability because it's a higher capacity attraction. And I think, you know, they've been talking about this. They want to spread this out a little bit more throughout the theme parks. And I just hope that we can, you know, keep our groups together, though. I give it a pass because it's such a wonderful experience. But you know, I hope these virtual queues kind of let us still do things with our you know, traveling group. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah. And that's, you know, it's not like it to me when we've, you know, it's that, okay, what time is that going to be? So, you know, yeah, they give you the estimated time, but you know, all it takes is one shutdown to throw that all out of whack. And now you're trying to work your day around this time that you don't really know where that is.
You're watching all day. You're saying, okay, they're up, you know, say you have group 80 and you're like, okay, they're at 64, you know, now they're at 70 all of a sudden, like 10 minutes later. And then 70 to 80 could take 3 hours. You know, there's no pacing to it. Yeah.
Yeah. And again, you know, it was nice enough that we got, I don't want to say we got fortunate. We got boarding group. And we were fortunate that it was towards the end of the day. I think they closed at like 8 o'clock that night or whatever. So it was towards the end of the evening. So some of them wanted to go back and just go swimming. Some of them, you know, we were able to kind of split up for that little bit. And then we all came to back together at the hotel when we all got done, and we're able to, you know, enjoy the rest of the evening with that. You know, the park hours didn't really affect much, I don't think. We did not do midday breaks or anything, so that, you know, that kind of helped with it. At the end of the evening, everybody was just able to kind of split off and go their merry way. The one thing is, we had six or seven at Savi's workshop in a big group, so we had like half of that workshop build lightsabers, and that was interesting with that group dynamic too, because with the number of people we had building, everybody in the group was able to even go in and watch that get done, which was kind of fun.
And that's because you sent me some pictures when you got back when we scheduled this recording. So obviously that picture jumps out just because of how dramatic it looks with the dark, you know, room and the lightsabers lit up and everybody kind of glowing from the color of their lightsabers. So without because I still haven't done this because I'm still scared that I go down on these solo trips. If I come, my wife knows how much lightsabers are. That's the bad thing.
Yes.
If I come rolling back in this house with a lightsaber, I'm going to kind of catch it, you know? So I'm trying to like, I'm lucky enough to get to go to these race weekends and these solo trips here and there that I don't look smart, but I'm smart enough to know I probably shouldn't roll in with a $200 lightsaber because my wife will kill me. Even though I want one in the worst way. I got a cheap $30 one on the wall. That's about as good as it's going to get. I think it came from Walmart. So without spoiling anything, because I don't know what there is to spoil, but what, especially with a group like this, and you said your daughter's a big Star Wars fan. I mean, it had to be pretty huge. Cool. What'd you think?
It was awesome. The way they run that and the way everything works with that, it's just amazing. I mean, it's like 12 or 14 of them in that room at a time. And the story with it, the way they present that, and it's truly is a show. The way they present that is amazing. And to see the look on, you know, my 15-year-old daughter's face, it was funny because it was five kids and one of the parents built. So the six of them were in there, and to see the looks on all of their faces when they light up, they turn on their lightsabers, they light up it was awesome. It was an absolute awesome sight. They all had fun. They all spent the next hour getting new kyber crystals and doing the whole thing. Some of the parents were getting some of the moms were getting a little upset that it was taking so long, and we had to, you know, them through.
Yeah, gizmo. But
I mean, it was amazing. Yeah. It was truly amazing to see the look on my daughter's face, because she going into it, she's like, I want a lightsaber. I'm like, okay, whatever, right. You know, save money. You'll get a lightsaber, thinking she would, you know, knowing good and well that we would pay for it, but wanted to see her go ahead and raise that money. And she did. She ended up saving Christmas money, birthday money, you name it. She saved it. But, you know, it was an awesome sight, and all the kids enjoyed it. And they're still, I don't want to say they're still playing with them, but they still get together and,
I always ask everybody, like, okay, where is the lightsaber now? Is it like hanging on the wall? Is it, you know, like when you get home, like, I'm like, okay, it'd be so cool. The thing I want to do is walk onto the plane with a lightsaber, because every flight home, somebody's got a lightsaber. And I'm like, that is the baddest thing to walk on an airplane with, is a lightsaber.
Yeah. When we got done, we ended up, like I said, we were in Disney, and then we went to Universal, and then we went to Treasure Island over in the Gulf Coast there. And we flew home out of Tampa. And we clear TSA with everything, and we're sitting there waiting for our flight. And the TSA agent that had checked my daughter as she went through, he came over and he goes, okay, I got to see it. And she's like, what? He's like, I got to see it. So she opened it up for him. He pulled it out as much as he knew that he could pull it out without causing all kinds of problems with TSA and the airport. But he looked at it and he's like, okay, how cool is it? And she was really excited to be able to tell him all about it, and you know, he's like, I got to get over there and do it, and he just hadn't gotten a chance to do it though. But it is really neat. I wouldn't, if you're worried about trying to get it home, the case that they give you that thing in, it's a padded case. Right. It ain't, you're not having any issues with it getting it on the plane, or you shouldn't have any issues with it breaking on the way home. It's nice. And right now, again, we were talking before we started recording, we're kind of getting prepared to move, so it's still in its case, but she's got it figured out when she does get her new bedroom where it's gonna hang.
I have that mounted right here in the studio. I mean, like right there. I'd be glowing every time I record a show. So someday I'm gonna get one. The thing is too, I was thinking about this. It's even a badder thing to take that thing and fly out of an airport other than MCO, because everybody's used to landmass walk around with lightsabers at MCO. You go out of Tampa, hey man, it's not as common.
Well, and that was I don't want to say it was a concern, but that was one of those things that we really check the TSA. It's funny because if you check the TSA's website, it says right there, lightsabers are okay to travel on the airplane. See, so
I mean, it's 2021, man. What world are we living in?
So it was good. It was fun. That was an experience. I was on the fence about it. I actually had emailed Lynn Testa a couple times about it. He's like, yeah, just do it. Just do it. He said, it's well worth it. And it is well worth it. So
yeah. Well, Len spends money like it's going out of style. But hey, I mean, we all want to be Len Testa some days at Walt Disney World. I was there one day, because this is probably 10 years ago, when he bought chips and guac for everybody that showed up at the Mexico Pavilion. And, I mean, there were hundreds of people there that day. And I was like, I just kept calculating in my mind, like, okay, chips and guac here in St. Peter's, where I live, are like $2, you know, for chips and salsa. Guac's like $5. At Disney, that's like $15 a pop. And I mean, there were just hundreds of people. I was like, He just bought like $5,000 worth of chips and guac for these people. I'm like, this is the most ridiculous thing ever, but he was fine. I mean, I was just like, Len, man, this is crazy.
I couldn't imagine doing that. But yeah, no, that, you know, I would do that thing again in a heartbeat. So
let me ask you this, because I want to actually talk about Universal, because your kids that age is probably perfect for Universal. I mean, I'm way Team Disney, but I've been to Universal and I can see where that would fall in. But any other highlights from the Disney side of the trip? Any of the other parks? Any of the other experiences?
You know, we got caught in a couple of just horrendous rainstorms. It was nuts. We were in Epcot, waiting in line for, not for chips and salsa, but for margaritas and tacos, and got caught in just a couple of horrendous rainstorms there. But you know, it wasn't bad. The weather was what the weather was. We had a couple of days of rain, and you know, again, waiting in line for the Haunted Mansion, we caught a big rainstorm. You know, the kids really enjoyed everything that they did. If you ask them what some of their favorites were, it would range anywhere from, they really loved Pirates. A lot of the kids really loved Pirates, which was kind of odd. I thought that was a little odd. And Haunted Mansion, they ate up the Haunted Mansion. That was, one of the big highlights of the trip there too. And, you know, everything, Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railroad was a great one. That was, if Ratatouille is anything similar to that, I can't wait to get on that. We really did enjoy Mickey and Minnie's too. You know, we had a couple of really good rides on Tower of Terror, but it was just a solid trip all along. I mean, everybody got along. We did almost everything that we wanted. Well, we did everything we wanted to do in every park. And again, the crowd level was just about right for that kind of a trip. So it was fun.
And you mentioned before we started, you know, we always give that advice that when you're going with a large group, that you don't have to stay together, you know, meet up at dinner, you know, meet up a few times here and there. But you said for the most part, you guys hung together the whole time and everybody really enjoyed each other's company. And it wasn't a struggle, which I will say, because I've been in both situations, when you have a larger group, sometimes if everybody isn't of the same ilk when it comes to how you want to go around a theme park, you know, they just like, I went with my mom one time and like, she showed up in these like, you know, nice shoes. And I was just like, we're in trouble. Right. She doesn't have on sneakers. And it was miserable because, you know, but I mean, this is the only time I went with my mom like 5, 6, 7 years ago. So she ended up going with my sister. We met up for dinner and it worked out better that way because it's just, that's not how I see it. But it sounds like you had the kind of right dynamics in your group that everybody was on the same page.
Yeah, and that's the big thing is that group dynamic. Those the 5, 15-year-olds, they go to school together, they play soccer together, the boys play together on a team, and the girls play together on a team, and they all get along. The families all get along wonderfully. We don't have any of that. There were some times if you would talk to my wife, she would tell you that she could tell I was getting a little frustrated, but it was that everybody wanted to do something, but nobody wanted to kind of take charge and move the group forward. So it's like, all right, we're going to Tomorrowland Terrace for lunch, and I'm getting a lobster roll and a mini brookie, and that's going to be the end of it.
Right.
So
I'm saying that's what it is here every night when we want to go to dinner. It's like, where you want to go to? I don't know. Where you want to go? You know what? We're going to Happy Joe's and getting a pizza. That's not it. I mean, done. Okay. So if you don't like it, you should have said something. That's what I mean. Yeah. It's like, otherwise we'd be sitting here 30 minutes later not knowing we're going to do. Okay.
Yeah.
Let me hop in here. Now, Jennifer's asking about, you said you had one ADR. Was that a good meal? And did you have trouble getting that ADR for the larger group?
It was one ADR for just my family. So it was just your family, three of us. We tried and it was tough because it was at 11. And I think the number that what I was finding is you couldn't get a group for 11. And not that we were trying to get some reservations just to have some placeholders, knowing that we could drop them as we needed to, drop numbers and stuff like that. And as the trip approached, we had a dining reservation for every night that we were there, and we ended up dropping all of them except for we went to where did we go? It wasn't Crystal Palace; it was on the other side of the hub there for dinner.
You went to the Plaza.
Yeah, we went to the Plaza for dinner that was truly, it was one of those that it worked out perfectly because we had just got out of a rainstorm waiting for Haunted Mansion, and our reservation came up. We the family hoofed it over there, ate dinner. The rest of the group actually went to Pecos Bill's and had turkey legs and other things. And we met up afterwards and finished the evening off. So that was the one time that everybody just kind of took that hour and kind of busted out. We did have a really good dinner at Plaza, but it was the one reservation, and it was hard to get reservations for that group. And I was on it 60 days out right after I got our Savvy stuff. I was working on trying to get that, and I just couldn't find anything. I'm hoping it's getting better now that they're starting to see that increase in availability on, and they're opening up more restaurants and opening up more hotels and everything. So hopefully it's getting better, but just keep checking, because that's what I ended up doing.
Yeah, everybody on the Plaza, because it's a great hidden gem. It's a good little restaurant that nobody thinks of. You just gave them, you proved the point. Like, it's a great good meatloaf there.
I didn't have a burger.
I'm just saying, I love meatloaf, man. My grandma used to make a mean meatloaf, and it's a pretty good one. It's pretty close. So I want to make sure we get all this in. So you guys went over to Universal. Yeah. So talk to us about that. What was that like? Did you guys stay on site over at Universal?
We did stay on site. I don't know how this opinion is going to go over, so I'll just say it and be what it is. But with the way things are going at Disney, Universal is a good place to go. We had an enjoyable time. And if Disney starts charging for, which they are with the Genie thing, so I don't know exactly how this is all going to work yet. But if they do like Universal does, and the higher tier hotels give you the Express Pass or whatever they're going to do with that, it's worth it. We stayed at Royal Pacific.
Nice.
We upgraded to the higher, nicer hotel. We only planned on 2 days at Universal, and we were able to do everything we needed to do because of the Express Pass.
Right. When I was down there for training, we had Express Pass for the 2 days. We stayed at Cabana Bay, and but Royal Pacific is like staying at the Polynesian, but it's like a moderate price at Walt Disney World felt like a Polynesian type experience, if you want to say the poly at Walt Disney World. We stayed at Cabana Bay, kind of like Pop Century on steroids, but they gave us the Express Pass since we were there for training. And it's eye-opening, because you just mentioned it. You can get a lot done, so it is worth
a lot
upgrade,
done in a short period of time. I mean, it's just you don't have to plan the day. You just go.
Yeah, totally.
You just go. We were fortunate. The younger girl, she was all about Harry Potter, so they were able to do the Harry Potter stuff and enjoy themselves. We took my daughter a few years back and did the Harry Potter, and she was enjoying herself and everything. We got really lucky and were able to get on Velocicoaster a couple of times. I think we rode it 2 or 3 times.
Okay, stop you. Live up to the hype, because I haven't been on it. Ricky's been on it, but she's a Universal person.
It lives up to the hype. Yeah, I wouldn't lie to you. It's probably one of the best coaster experiences I've ever been on. It is intense. It is just the right amount of intensity, I think. And again, they weren't using Express Pass on that standby queue like everybody else for that. But it was running right at an hour wait, which wasn't too bad. And Universal seemed a lot more crowded than Disney did. So it wasn't bad. They were moving them through real quick with that. It was fun, but that was probably the highlight for a lot of us was being able to do the Velocicoaster, because going into it, we knew it was going to be open, but we didn't know what the waits were going to be like. So it was kind of one of those, maybe we do, maybe we don't. And it does live up to the hype. I would do it in a heartbeat, you know. And we did have fun, but by the end of that trip, because we went straight 4 days at Disney, 2 days at Universal. We needed a break in there, I think. That break would be, a day would be nice.
Right.
Just to kind of give you that, just some relaxation. Cause it was, you know, it was go, 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 go. But luckily, you know, after we left Universal, we all drove over to Tampa and had that week on the beach that kind of settled everything back down.
I'm sure
that
beach
vacation
week was like,
your vacation.
Yeah, that's exactly that's what my wife says every time we get back in the summer. It's like, man, again, you know, we're getting older. Like, we used to do this, like, we're in our early 30s. We're not in our early 30s anymore. And the thing is, we get home, we're both just tired, just exhausted. And we always go in the summer, and it's usually towards the end of her summer break. She's getting ready to go back to school. Yeah. Same thing. So you did it right now. I'm sure that, I mean, when you guys went to the beach, we're not a beach podcast, but I mean, was that a good choice to go over to called the Treasure Coast as opposed
to Treasure Island? Okay. Treasure Island, it reminds me a lot of you know, before we started recording that, we were talking about some of that nostalgia stuff. Yeah. And it kind of reminds me of a place from the 70s, late nice. 60s, early 70s. Oh,
that's my vibe. I like that. Yeah. Nice.
It's still got that small town vibe. You know, a lot of smaller hotels, smaller stuff like that. But we went, we snuck down there in 2019, you know, 2020, we snuck down there, stayed at the same resort we stayed at this time, right on the beach. Just a great place. It didn't seem crowded. So it's not like you're taking an hour to drive anywhere to get dinner while you're on that area section of the beach or anything. It was great. You know, good weather. It had some nighttime rains and stuff like that, but it was a perfect place to just go sit and kind of wind down. And we actually had another family meet us down there. So we ended up with a party of like 20 by the time the whole vacation was over, by the time we got everybody down to the beach and just kind of chilling out for that last 5-6 days. You know, we got caught up with some of the airline issues and canceling flights during that time on our way back. But, you know, we ended up staying at the hotel by the airport before we flew back one extra day because of some pilot shortages. But yeah, that, you know, you can't, and to me, you can't go wrong with just taking a week and just sitting on the beach either. Oh, yeah. So
I keep telling myself I need to do that. And I'm like, well, I can go 3 more days at Disney, you know, 11 well, days at Disney. Yeah. I mean, that's what we do. Yeah. And it's like too much for me sometimes. I'm just like, I'm exhausted.
But yeah. And you know, I would kind of, I know you're a Space Coast kind of guy. Yeah. I would like to get over there, 'cause I think it would have the same kind of vibe as that Cocoa Beach.
It does.
Area. Like, just kind of yeah. laid right. back, relaxed. And that's, you know, I'd like to try that sometime, but everybody seems pretty happy going the other way.
I'm sure. So. I'm sure that for the vacation aspect, probably the Gulf Coast is better. Like, I'm just the nerd that I've stayed in the La Quinta that the Mercury astronauts used to own, but who cares? It's a La Quinta, you know, it's a cheap, dirty hotel that right. they once owned, and they probably just owned like a little stake in it. So, you know, whatever, but yeah. There's a sign, you know, and there's a sign. Hey, they shot little, I Dream a Genie here, you know, wow.
Yeah. Yeah,
but that's me.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
No, and that's the thing is, and you know, with the big thing and is just a group dynamic, everybody having a good time getting along, whether it was at Disney, Universal, we just melded. Everybody gets along, and we're still like, we went out to dinner a couple weeks ago with that same group. After a preview for some high school activity stuff, and it's fun. I mean, we enjoy that group, and I think there's already talk of doing something next year. I don't know what that's going to look like, but yeah, it's fun to travel with a big group. Now, again, like you said, if the groups work well, they work well. If they don't, it could probably be a nightmare, I would imagine.
Yeah, no, that's why we do the podcast cruises, because cruising, I think, especially lends itself to groups, because you get to hang out with so many people that you just don't get to spend time with. You know, in the real world, you're passing, you know, like you're going to soccer, you're going to cheer, you're going to school, you're going to work, you got to work when you get home. But when you're on a cruise, or when you're sitting on the beach, or at Walt Disney World at dinner, right. you get to catch up. You know, and I think that's really what vacation should be about, and that's really cool. So, go ahead.
And I was going to say, and that was what was nice about a couple of the nights, one night at Disney and one night at Universal. We got back, the kids were in the pool. We were sitting at either the pool bar at either at Pop Century or Royal Pacific there. And we just were just talking and it's conversing.
You're sitting in somebody's backyard almost. I mean, you know, finally. Yeah.
And those were some of those recharge moments that you needed just to kind of recharge from what you just done to go out and hit the ground running the next day. But you know, that's to me, that's what vacation's about, is having a good time with your friends and family and making those experiences. And you know, I when I shared those photos with you, I just shared a handful with you. I mean, I'm looking here at some of the other ones, of just some of the crazy things that happened on some of the rides that we were riding and stuff like that. And you're going to keep those memories for forever. And that's, you know, that's what I like to do. And that's what it, you know, really works well. And that's why, you know, Disney's good with that. They help you create those memories. So.
And I will say, just kind of, you know, I'm a dad, you're a dad. The thing is, if you have the opportunity to let your kids travel to a place like Walt Disney World or Universal with a friend, and you know, you guys did it as groups, families, and we did this with a family years ago, Paige's best friend, we took Molly. Then later we took her parents, and her brother came, her whole family. And the thing is, you know, Walt Disney World's awesome with just your, you know, your core family. But when they get to take a friend, Mallory took her friend from Cheer this summer. And, of course, Paige took Molly way back in the day. It's one of those things they'll never, ever forget. You know, when you get to go to a place like that and make memories, not only with your family, but with your best friends. Yeah. And I'm sure that, because, I mean, that's going to be something that that's going to bond them as friends, too. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. No, it was, it was an all-around great trip. I would do it again in a heartbeat. And I think everybody else would, too, I hope. I think everybody else had fun.
Yeah, that's what we're hoping. Wait, but great trip report, and thanks for sharing the pictures, because I'm telling you, those Savis pictures, it's got me wanting a lightsaber pretty badly. I'm saying,
save your my daughter, save your Christmas money, save your birthday money, and you'll get one.
I've got that Disney Visa rewards points. I got enough to cover a lightsaber, but I want to put that towards a cruise. But see, here we go. Yes. Now that's my play money. So
it's that Disney math stuff, right?
Yeah, I did the same thing this summer. We added one night onto Pop Century before we were staying at Caribbean Beach. And then that hurricane was supposed to hit, Hurricane Elsa. Right. And when it was named Elsa, I'm like, that thing is bound and determined to hit Orlando. It's called Elsa. So we added a second night at Pop Century. Then we got like a light wind. I mean, like we have bigger hurricanes in St. Peter's, Missouri, you know, than we got
there. Yeah. So. As I say, we've had some stronger winds than that one just in the past couple of weeks down here. So
exactly. Well, Bob, thanks so much for taking the time starting the week with us here on the show. I sure appreciate you you sharing this trip with us. A lot of fun.
Thanks for letting me come on, Mike.
Anytime. We'll talk after your next trip, too. So let me
know. All right, sounds good.
Okay. Don't forget, today's show brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. Check them out for your Disney trip planning needs. They'll take great care of you from the time that you are ready to plan that trip. They've got great trip planning tools till the time you get back. You need anything, they're there for you, getting the best price possible on any Disney vacation. Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise Line, just got back from the dream. Pretty awesome. And Adventures by Disney. We also do Universal. So check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Please also use our Amazon affiliate link, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. One extra click means a lot to us, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. And thank you to our patrons for allowing us to put out this show 4 times a week all around the world. It's because of you. Patron, pat yourself on the back. If you'd like to become a patron yourself and get the extra show every Thursday called Mike in the Midwest, which Bob could relate to because it's all stories about growing up here in Missouri, and we do crazy stuff like eat ooey gooey butter cake and all kinds of fun stuff. I'm saying, I think I saw it on the news this morning. But hey, you want to get stories about this? And I mean, they're not, it's nothing life-shattering, but they're kind of fun. So just check out patreon.com/brguestpodcast. Follow the show on the social media, brguestmike on Instagram and Twitter. brguestpod is on Instagram. Ricky runs that account. And of course, you can subscribe to the show on Facebook and YouTube and join us every Sunday night, 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central. Scott joins me and we take your calls about all things Disney. All right, time to get out of here and let you get out the door and head down to work or to school or whatever you have to do today. Make it a great one. So for Bob, I'm Mike, wishing you a happy Monday. Time to get back to work and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.